That was kind of a low amen there. Hey, what about people marrying and taking them on away? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We want to, praise God, add to the church. Amen. Oh, if you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Well, I want you to stand again, and then I'll let you sit for a good solid hour. How about that? Praise the Lord. God is good. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of four great questions about the Holy Spirit. Four great questions. I want to read three different passages of Scripture, and I don't normally read a lot of Scripture, but it'll all tie together in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, our pastor hit on some of this morning, and that's what we've been doing, is trying to together complement what the Lord is saying to the church. I guess next Sunday is Mother's Day. Is it already Mother's Day? In graduation, 4th of July, Falcon Camp meeting, school starts back, Halloween, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. Amen. And the year's going on by. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Now flip over to Acts chapter 2. They call us a bunch of two by four preachers, because all we Pentecostals know how to do is preach Acts 2:4. Amen. And that's all right. I'll be a two by four preacher tonight. Amen. Acts 2, I'm proud of it. Amen. Absolutely 100% proud to be 1,000% Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal through and through, baptized from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. Not going to water it down, not going to compromise, not going to send you to another room. We're going to let everyone come all, get into the flow of the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. We need it. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through, I'm an unapologetic Pentecostal. Now, do I love Baptists? I sure do. Some of my favorite preachers are Southern Baptists. Adrian Rogers, Jerry Vines, Mac Brunson, some others. Do I love Methodists? I sure do. Clovis Chapel I have many of his books. I was a great Methodist in Charlotte, North Carolina. Do I love Catholics? Sure. I love them all. Amen. But let me tell you something. It's not a church. It's an experience. Amen. It's an experience. So, I love Pentecost. Amen. Acts 2, 1 through 4. If you're there, say amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. Read verse 4, all of us together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, one final scripture, and I'm going to tie it all together. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So flip over to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to tie all this together and thank the Lord for His presence tonight. Amen. You there, say amen. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. Father, anoint your servant to preach the word of God tonight. Send down the old-fashioned power of the Spirit of the Lord. God, baptize every one of us to we're overflowing. Lord, may we take it on our jobs tomorrow. May we take it into the street. Lord, let it fill this house where we're assembled. And we may be sitting, but we won't stay sitting. We'll be up and about the Master's business, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them, and you may be seated tonight. Four great questions about the Holy Spirit. Now, we all have questions. I have a few questions that I don't know that there's any answers to. One of the questions I've always asked is, why do you put suits in garment bags and garments in suitcases? The question I've often asked is, why doesn't glue stick to the inside of the bottle? Here's a good question. Why isn't there mouse-flavored cat food? Why do you drive on a parkway and park on a driveway? Why is it called a hamburger? Now you're restaurant owners here. Why is it called a hamburger when it's made out of beef? You know? And last one. Why is it that you can tell somebody there's 400 billion stars in the galaxy and they believe you? But if you put wet paint on the wall, they will touch it. Somebody say why. These are interesting questions. But I don't want to talk about interesting questions. I want to talk about what I believe are the greatest four questions that I've been asked and many are asking about the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said that the Holy Spirit was everything to the New Testament church. If you remove the Holy Spirit from the early church, it would have died. But if you remove the Holy Spirit from the church today, most of it would go on as if nothing had happened. If we want to be all that God wants us to be, if we want the church to be all that God wants it to be, if we want to be the father, the mother, the Sunday school teacher, the impact of this community, of all that we want to be, if we want to have the deeper walk, then we need and must ask and must understand to the best of our ability and be seeking and searching a relationship and an understanding of the Holy Spirit. I wish somebody would give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Holy Spirit, rain down. First question, number one, simply is, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the third person. Somebody say person of the Godhead. Now, we say third. He is not number three. It is not in a level. It is just a way for us to enumerate the triunity of God, the unexplainable unity of the triune God. Though they are three, yet they are one. And we say the third person, and we only do that to explain that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen out here tonight? And you see, God exists in three persons. He is not three gods. We don't have a polytheistic religion or many gods. We are monotheistic, meaning one God. But that one God exists in three definite, separate, distinguishable persons called the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Son, and Father. Son, Father, Holy Ghost. Say with me, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Come on. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You say, how do we know that there is a Trinity? The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. But the concept of the Trinity is all over the Bible. Go to the baptismal formula of Jesus. Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go to Jesus' own baptism. He was in the water. The Father spoke from heaven and the Spirit descended like a dove. Go to the Garden of Gethsemane and there Jesus is praying to the Father. And I don't have time to list the Pauline proclamations when he talked about the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit and the praise of the Son. Even if you go to that great scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, all the way back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Say that with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Just keep that up there for a moment. The word God in this verse is in the Hebrew, Elohim, Elohim. And so even in this scripture where it says, it basically says, hear, O Israel, the Elohim, our God is one Elohim, or Jehovah, our Elohim is one Jehovah. And so the word Elohim is really correctly translated in the English, gods. Why do you say that? Because if you'll go to the book of Isaiah, and it says that the cherubim were flying around the throne. Cherub means one angel. Cherubim means several angels. Seraph is one angel. Seraphim is several angels. El is one God. Elohim is the plurality. Now please understand that the reason correctly that they did not translate in the English gods, it would give people the false idea that there were three gods. But understand, Elohim, right there in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, there is the Trinity, because He is one Lord, but He's also Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. The Bible says that in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, He said, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. In that one scripture, you have the Trinity. He is praying to the Father. He is the Son speaking, and He is speaking of the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling, not a force, although you will feel the Holy Spirit. And though the Holy Spirit is a force, the Holy Spirit is more than a goosebump. It's more than a thrill. The Holy Spirit is a He, a divine person of the adorable Godhead. He is a person. He has a personality. He is God Almighty. Can you say amen tonight? Go further proof. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9 and 14, through the eternal Spirit, divine attributes are given to, there's the eternal Father, the eternal Son, and the eternal Spirit. And here's a very interesting scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. If you're there, say amen. We got it up here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, that word grieve is a term of endearment. I can damage my car, but I can't grieve my car. Amen? I can grieve my wife. Because grief, a car cannot grieve. This plant cannot grieve. Only a person can grieve. And just on a side note here, how many times do we grieve the Holy Spirit, who lives with us and walks with us, and when we won't forgive others, or we allow things into our thought life, and when we don't worship, or we quench the Holy Spirit. Listen, who is the Holy Spirit? He is God Almighty. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And I want you to know that He is a person. He is God. He is Father, Son, or the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Spirit. They are divine attributes, and the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'm here to tell you at Westmoreland Church, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, is in this house tonight. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you came in bound, good news, the Holy Spirit is here to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. If you came in depressed, the Holy Spirit is personally here to meet every need, break every fetter. I wish somebody would say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Thou art welcome in this place. He is a person. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Number two, second greatest question is, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let me answer that question by saying, first of all, what it is not. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the same as being born again. Now, it is true that when we're born again, we are born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit deals with us, draws us to God, knocks on our heart. And the Bible says, all that the Father come to me are drawn to me, and him that comes to me, I will know us. Who draws us to God? It is the Holy Spirit. Being born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit was present, was active, was working and moving. And we can sense sometimes in a congregation when the Holy Spirit is touching people and ministering to people and wooing people because his first job is to get people to Jesus Christ to be saved. Amen. But there is a separate and distinct experience beyond salvation. Somebody say saved. The second experience is sanctified. And then to cap it off is the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. Amen. It's a separate experience. Somebody say separate experience. Somebody say it's a distinct experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can be summed up like this. Being born of the Spirit gets you into the family of God, but being baptized in the Spirit helps you live victoriously in this world. Being born of the Spirit gets you ready for heaven, but being baptized in the Spirit helps you to be a witness on earth. Born of the Spirit, heaven. Baptized in the Spirit, earth. Let me get even more plain. I got to get real plain. I went to East Carolina. I didn't go to Holmes Bible College. Although I love Holmes Bible College, send money to it, support it, and Emmanuel. Our youth pastor graduated from Emmanuel, but your associate pastor graduated from East Carolina. So I've got to just tell you, even our pastor graduated from Atlantic Christian College, so I'm probably the wild olive around here, amen. But let me just tell you, East Carolina plain folk, getting born of the Spirit or being born again gets you into the ball game. But being baptized in the Spirit helps you to knock a home run. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about? Thank God I'm in the stadium, but being baptized, buddy, I have knocked it out of the park because it's not me. It's something in me called the power of the Holy Ghost. Old Mark McGuire, about what, 20 years ago? And man, he was breaking all these records, Brother Beeman. And I mean, he was knocking the ball out of the park and they were giving him awards until they found out he had been taking drugs. He was doing it unfairly. He had the wrong stuff. Let me tell you something. When we get the Holy Ghost, we get the right stuff. Amen. It's not illegal. I gotta have something to knock the ball out of the park and beat that old devil in the game of life. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you what, here's another one. Being born of the Spirit qualifies you for the race. Racing fans, You get qualified for, how many of you know, you can get qualified for the race. You can get out there and start your engines. Vroom, vroom. But let me tell you, you got to have something to get across the checkered flag. And I'll tell you, getting full of the Holy Ghost will get you into victory lane, glory to God. Victory over the flesh. Victory over the world. Somebody wave the victory flag. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. It'll bring victory. And thank God there's a lot of people got their engines. They're in the race, but very few are going down victory lane. There's defeat in their life. There's depression in their life. There's bondage in their life. But the Holy Spirit being baptized, oh Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Will put us in the victory lane. Come on and give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Now you got to understand something. The disciples were born again. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They had even walked with Jesus. They had personally eyewitnessed the miracles of Jesus. But even to them, He said, "Tarry until you be endued with power from on high." You see, there's Calvary. And how many of you thank God for Calvary? At the cross. Where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. Have you been to Calvary? Have you had your sins washed? You know who got you to Calvary? The Holy Spirit brought you to Calvary through convicting. But let me tell you, there's not only Calvary, there's the upper room. And I'm going to go a little further. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. Somebody say amen. Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, Easter is the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's one holiday that really gets a little attention. Where? What is the First Lady? You got it. Pentecost Sunday. I got to thinking about this. Think. Calvary's wonderful. Easter's wonderful. Christmas is wonderful. The birth. But if they had not had Pentecost, we'd have never known about Easter. We'd have never known about Christmas. I'm going to tell you, Pentecost Sunday ought to be celebrated a little bit more than when I believe Simon Shabinga, glory from Africa, is coming on Pentecost Sunday. Sounds good to me, glory, because it takes Pentecost for us to get people to Calvary and to tell them about the resurrection. Even Peter on the day of Pentecost said, "You wicked men slew the Lord of glory, but God raised Him from the dead, and He has given us His Spirit." Oh, thank God for the power. He is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Makes a tremendous difference in your Christian life. Can you say amen? In fact, I love to tell this little story about the magazine in World War II. They were trying to raise money for the troops, and they were trying to picture a new weapon, and so they had three little cartoons. And so the first cartoon was a large tank that was bearing down on this one soldier. And just as the tank was about to overwhelm him, in other words, picture one little soldier in front of this big tank. The next scene showed a picture of a new weapon called a bazooka. Okay, so the first scene is the little soldier, big tank. The second scene was the bazooka. Woo! I feel a Brother Jerry shout coming on. Oh, the next scene was this big soldier and a little tank. Amen. And I want to tell you, we don't have to have a bazooka, but we got something more powerful, and that's the Holy Spirit that will make our Goliath seem so small and David seem so tall. Thank God that we need, and He has provided not only Calvary, but He's provided the upper room. Have you been to the upper room? Have you been endued with power? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? Third person of the Godhead, a person. God, the Holy Spirit. Number two, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's a separate experience from being born again, promised to all who have been saved, that will empower you for daily living in this world, that will get you into victory lane. And you Pentecostals are mighty, 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 mighty quiet tonight. And I got two more to go. So, the greatest question number three is, how can I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How can I receive that? You say, Brother Ricky, I feel like that little soldier. And I'm going out there, some big tanks. There's drugs out there, temptation out there. So how do I receive the Holy Spirit? If you say it's separate, first of all, are you saved? Raise your hand if you're saved here tonight. That's the first thing you got to do, is be saved. Have you been sanctified? Have you been cleansed of the sin nature? If you haven't, you can be sanctified and receive the Holy Spirit in the same night. It might not be the same experience, but it can be done in the same time frame. Well, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you four things. Number one, you must simply ask for it. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13 says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? That's like little Rylan, a grandbaby there of Vera and Doug. And he goes over to the donut shop and says, Grand, what does he call you for as the grandmother name? Do you mind telling me? Mimi. If he goes, and what's he called? Deepak. So Mimi and Deepak, I want a donut. Can you imagine Mimi and Deepak pulling out a big rock with put cream on it and say, here, my grandson, here, you can have this. And what would little Ryland do? And he'd be like, if any of you, and listen, I love Doug and Vera, but they're like all of us. They were born sinners like we all are. Amen. Now, they're a little bit better sinners than I, as far as, I'm worse than they are. I promise you. Amen. I need it a lot more. They're more saints than sinners. But let me tell you, the thing is, they're going to give Ryland, their grandson, they're going to give him, which donut do you want? You got, am I telling anything wrong here tonight? Oh, let me tell you something. If Ryland can get a donut from Mimi and Deepak, I'll tell you, if you'll just come tonight to this altar, there is a Heavenly Father that's got the Holy Spirit, that experience, and the first thing you just need to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Ask Him and say, Father, will you give me that experience? Because if you will come asking, you will not leave disappointed. Can you say amen tonight? If you then, being evil, know how to give donuts to your grandchildren, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Amen. There's a lot of people who just quit asking for it. And how sad that is. You say, well, I've asked for it and I can't get it. Well, I'm going to address that in just a few moments. And the Bible says if you go to your dad and ask, or mother, and ask them for an egg, scramble me an egg, mama. And she's not going to put on the plate a snake. Amen. Oh, friend, ask. Somebody say, ask. Number two, here's where I'm going to address this. Not only should you ask for the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number two, you should believe for it. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. I've gotten mighty hungry since I preached this sermon for some reason. I think I might go there for lunch tomorrow. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Are you there? Say amen. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the what? Hearing of faith. And are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, how do you receive the Spirit? Through faith. Amen. That's how you get anything from God. How did you get saved? Well, by grace are you saved, through faith. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you receive anything from God? By faith. You have got to have faith. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I've prayed and I've asked the Lord for it before. Or Brother Ricky, I've never asked for it. I'm not sure all about it. But here's the thing. You got to believe. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to build up your most holy faith. I'm trying to tell you there's something for you. And counseling may not be able to do it. Alcoholics Anonymous certainly will not be able to do it alone. You can go to rehab all you want to. But I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that if you'll come down to this altar and if you'll just have faith, not in you, not in the preacher, but faith in God Almighty, and if you ask Him to fill you with power from on high, I promise you, He will fill you, He will thrill you, and you'll be shouting happy, and the Lord will fill you and bless you with the baptism. Well, I'm about to shout of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen tonight. I'm believing. Listen, I want every member of Westmoreland to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. I want every board member, every pastor and every pastoral staff. I want every teenager to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd like to see, even in our children's church, I'd like to hear that they've had such a move of God that 8-year-old and 9-year-olds are speaking in an unknown tongue. You say, well, I'm not so sure about that. Come on, you who watch horror movies and Possession and Halloween and Jason, you who get go and watch a bad thing on TV and you're telling me you can't handle a little strange stuff in the church. No, the stuff is out there is strange. What we got in here is normal. Come on. I mean, you who will listen to rock and roll that says crazy stuff and rap music that talks about gangster killing, and you let your kids plug in an iPod, but I don't want them to, I don't know about that stuff. Let me tell you, what they need is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd rather them speak in tongues than get hooked on drugs and alcohol and pornography. That's going to destroy them. What will set them free and liberate them and how God will use them is through the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give the Lord, the Holy Spirit is in the house, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody say amen. Everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm not talking about just being saved. I'm talking about everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If Peter needed it, Paul needed it, if I needed it, if the 120 needed it, turn around and tell somebody, you need it too. You need it too. Amen. Number one, ask for it, say amen. Number two, believe for it, say amen. Number three, obey. Acts 5 and 32. Go ahead and go to Acts 5 and 32. I'm going to try to bring this to a close between now and tomorrow. Acts 5 and 32 says, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that what? There is a sense that we'll never be perfect. And if you're waiting to be perfect before you ask for the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a sense if you're waiting to be perfect, you'll never be perfect in that sense. But on the flip side, one of the things that hinders people from getting the fullness of the Spirit of God is because they've got some areas in their life that they're not obeying God in. Can I get a witness out there? Now, I'm not saying you got to be perfect, because if the Holy Ghost just baptized those who were perfect, it wouldn't none of us get it. But if you are willfully, knowingly allowing sin in your life that you don't have any concern about, disobedience, the Word of God, and then you're asking God for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get it until you bring your life into obedience to God. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is a dove, and He is a clean, doves are clean animals, and they do not forage, and they do not feast on the dead things like other birds do. The Holy Spirit is attracted to life and cleanliness, and so just have a heart that is pure. And I didn't say that you couldn't be struggling with some things. And Brother Ricky, I've got some habits. I hate the habits. I'm trying to break them. And God is helping you. In fact, you need the Holy Spirit to help you break those habits. Amen. along with sanctification. But I'm talking about, listen, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're not going to get the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You just might as well go ahead and forgive them. You might as well go ahead and forget what somebody said about you. You might as well just go ahead and just say, let it go, because sometimes what's held people up from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is they've allowed some disobedience in their life. It may not send you to hell, but it is keeping you from getting all that God wants from you. You come to this altar and say, Lord, I'll forgive whoever I need to forgive. I'll be a servant. It's not about me. I'll be humble before you, God. Lord, just break me and mold me and melt me. Holy Spirit, come just as I am and just make me what you want me to be. And I promise you, if you'll obey God, if you will obey Him and say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to get to that at the end of this sermon, but whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. If you tell me to go overseas, if you tell me to give, if you tell me whatever it is, Lord, if you'll learn to obey God, I tell you, it'll be worth it. And there'll be nothing that you obey God on that He won't bless you 1,000 times for. This thing is precious, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you got to obey God. Somebody say, obey God. Can't pick and choose. Can't be dilly-dallying, foot in the church and foot in the world. You got to go all the way. Somebody say, I'm all in. And then fourthly, not only must you ask, believe, and obey, you must yield. And I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues, because there's been a lot of questions about speaking in tongues. We believe that when the first initial evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence is you will talk in an unknown tongues. Now, Brother Ricky, I don't believe that, or I'm from a different denomination. Can I just tell you right off the top, I love you. Amen. I love you. Tongues is not necessary to go to heaven. Tongues is not anything that should divide the body of Christ. There are good people who have disagreements and interpretation. But can I just wait out here a little bit, and y'all still love me tonight? Have I got a friendly audience here tonight? So I was at Southern Nash Junior, and my seventh grade year, I was lost could be. Between my seventh grade year and eighth grade year, I got saved. And midway my eighth grade year, I got full of the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. And my favorite class was was band. I loved to be in the band. I played the saxophone. And my band teacher was my favorite teacher. His name was, you may know him, Randy Barham, was my band teacher. And Randy Barham, he said he was saved. And he attended a Baptist church close to Southern Nash. And when I got full of the Holy Ghost, I said, Mr. Barham, you need the Holy Ghost. And I'd get under his skin, and he'd kind of huff, and he'd be like, I got all I need when I got saved. Now understand, at the time, he smoked cigarettes. And every now and then on the football field when we were marching, he'd let out a clean expletive. Now, I know there's no expletive that's clean, but there's some that are really bad. Now, he didn't do the really bad one, but he did those ones that teachers today get fired over. I mean, expletive. And I ain't going to do that. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm like, Mr. Barham, you say you're a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And I mean, I would work on him, and I would ride around with Steve Edmondson, and we'd go down to Williamston, and then Steve would go down to over to Independence and preach. And my grandmother was his spiritual mother, and so we would ride up and down the road. Steve was in his 20s and preaching all over Eastern North Carolina, and I'd come back and I'd tell Mr. Barham about these revivals, and I could tell it irritated him. And I'll never forget, one day he looked at me and he said, let me tell you something. He said, I want you to know that tongues is on the bottom of the list. That's what he told me. Well, I didn't have enough wisdom. I didn't know how to answer that. You know, 1 Corinthians, tongues, you know, the gift of tongues is down there listed toward the bottom. And he was saying, you know, you got all these other gifts. You can't tell me that it's the main gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I didn't know how to answer him. What I should have said is, yeah, it is on the bottom of the list, but are you doing the others on the top of the list? You know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and all of that. And he probably would have said no. But I'll tell you something. One day, I don't know what happened, but I came into the band room to deliver my instrument. It was a sleepy morning, and I was half asleep because I've never been a morning person. I'm always half asleep till about 11 o'clock, even though I'm awake. And so I walked in the band room, and Mr. Bear met me at the office, and he looked at me, and he said, "Brother Nelms." Now, I'm a student. I said, "What?" He said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "Last night I went to a revival and I got uraba shakala mosataya." That's exactly what he did. The power of God hit him. He ran one way and I ran the other way. And we met back around and we danced and we jigged, and Mr. Barham got full of the Holy Ghost. His wife got full of the Holy Ghost. And he left the Baptist, and I love Baptists. I'm telling you, nothing against Baptists, but he went to another church, to the Church of God, where he could grow in that wonderful gift. Now remember, I said, I love Baptists and I love Methodists. Please do you know I love them. Amen. But he went, he got full of the whole, oh, I'm about to run this aisle. There is something about the baptism that is needed. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, he quit using those expletives. And he stopped his smoking. And every now and then, I went to high school, but I'll tell you what, he became a great man of God. And he was on fire for God. As far as I know, he's still on fire for God today. You had no idea that I had a part to do in that, did you? Amen, somebody. But he began to speak in tongues. Let me tell you that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence. Say the word initial. What we mean by initial is this. It is the first initial evidence, but it's not the only evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Because there are other instances in the Scripture. It says they spake in tongues and prophesied. All right? So prophecy is an evidence. Hey, don't tell me you're speaking in tongues and can't speak to your next door neighbor about Jesus. I said the other day, I wish some people would get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of witnessing. I worked and I worked and I worked on people to get into church on Easter Sunday. Praise God, I got tooth. You said, are you bragging? Yes, I'm bragging in Jesus. Amen. And you would brag too if you knew how hard it was. And I'm bragging in the Lord. I bribed them, talked to them, coaxed them, worked on them. I did everything I could. Praise God. On Easter Sunday, they come walking in the front door. I haven't seen them since, but guess what? I'm still working on them. Hallelujah. And God showed up and did something in their life. You know, one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is that I'm selling TVs at Best Buy. But while I'm not selling TVs, I'm talking about Jesus and telling people what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. I'm so glad to be a Christian. Spirit filled. I'm talking about a spirit filled. Spirit controlled. Walk in the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. See, the tongues, people say, well, I'm trying to speak in tongues. I'm trying to speak in tongues. Don't try to speak in tongues. You know, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, the tongue will come as you yield to Him. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, and I'm going to move on. And, brother, get ready. You can just stay where you are, but I'm getting ready to call you up. But I struggled with speaking in tongues. I was so hungry for the Holy Ghost, and I'd get so close. And I remember one time, I yielded my tongue. By the way, if you're waiting for God to move your tongue, it's not going to happen. God is not going to move your tongue. You have to release your tongue. You have to yield as the Spirit gives the utterance. The utterance. You yield to that. You feel it. It's hard to explain. I can't write on pen and paper. I can't tell you exactly how. But I can just tell you, I would feel it, and I would feel it up in here. And I remember one time I allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through me, and I spoke a few syllables in tongues. And as soon as I spoke in tongues, all of a sudden I heard this voice. That wasn't of God. That was you. You better stop that. You're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You're going to die and go to hell. And so I quit. I quit. I was like, oh no, I won't do that again, Lord. Exactly. And I'd feel it, but then I'd stop. I'd get close to it, and something would tell me, you better not. Until finally, at the Assembly of God Church, thank God for the Assembly of God, Pastor G.W. Hathcock, big man. And he brought an evangelist in from India. And he said, some of you are struggling with speaking in tongues. You feel it, and you're about to release it, but some little voice says, that's you, or that's not of God. He said, can I tell you, that's proof that you are feeling the genuine. And you just go ahead and let it flow. Because he pointed back to the scripture, Pastor, that said, if you ask for an egg, he will not give you a serpent. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he will not give you an evil spirit. So if you're asking for the Holy Spirit, and you feel like it's an evil spirit, then that's the devil telling you that's proof that the devil's trying to stop you. So just turn it off. Just let the Lord use you. Just flow in the Spirit. It's of God. He loves you too much for you to get a bad spirit. And I'm telling you, it's like a light bulb went off. And I remember I went down to that glory of Shataramosataya. I went down to that altar. And I began to let it flow. Now listen, I'm not one of these ones that say you can speak in tongues anytime you want. I still got to get in the Spirit. I still got to get in the flow. I'm not one that abuses the gift. But I'm telling you, when I feel it and the Lord's moving, I know it's not me. And if you ask God for it, yield to it. Don't be afraid. Don't let the devil tell you it's not of God. He's a liar and the father of lies. Ask and you shall. I wish somebody lift your hand tonight and say, Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Holy. I believe God is going to fill some people tonight with the initial evidence and with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, the greatest question of all. You can come and let's play pretend, okay? Mr. Rogers, the land of make-believe. Because I'm not finished, but the Lord is wrapping this up. And I'll let you know right when to start. I've asked you the four greatest questions. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? He's a member of the Trinity, and he's God. Say amen. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is not being the same as being born again. It is a separate and distinct experience. Say amen. Number three, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? You ask, you believe, you obey, and you yield. But the greatest question of all, number four, do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want it? You know, if you know He's God, and you know it's for you, and you know He's not going to give you an evil spirit, what's left? The only thing left is this. Do you want it? Are you hungry for it? Listen, I told you about Jesus turning the water into wine. Go back to John chapter 2 because you'll miss this. And I believe God's about to turn the water into wine tonight. Glory to God. Now, I'm not talking about fish. And by the way, if anybody ever comes up with this stuff like, well, it's okay for Christians to drink. Jesus turned the water into wine. Don't believe that stuff. You know what? That's a person I really believe is it needs to think about where they are with the Lord. I didn't say they weren't saved. And here's what my answer is. Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. Jesus turned the water into wine. And so I'll just fill up a glass of water. And if He turns it into wine, I'll be glad to drink it. And I think it'll be okay to drink it. But until He turns the water into wine, I'm a teetotaler, brother. I'm not touching Budweiser and Michelob. And I'm not taking a little happy hours. Man. I thought I was at a holiness church. I'm not going to touch that alcohol. And you don't need to let your kids drink it. You say, well, you're being tough. Let me tell you, alcohol will kill. And drunk driving will kill. And alcoholism leads to drugs. But let me tell you, it says, and it was the third day, and there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus there. Go to the next scripture. And both Jesus was called and his disciples. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said, they have no. Listen, notice that. It says, when they what? When they wanted the wine. Hallelujah. Where's the wine at? I believe it's time for some wine. I don't see any wine. What? No wine? Well, I really want it. Do you want it? Yeah, I want it. Do you want it? Yeah. What are we going to do? Jesus' mother said, I tell you what we're going to do. Mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said this. Just do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And if you really want it, praise God, you can have it. Friend, if you want the Holy Spirit, just like they wanted wine, and God turned the water into wine, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you want the Holy Spirit, you will have the Holy Spirit. Aristotle. It was either Aristotle or Socrates, one of the two. I think it was Socrates. You see, I went to East Carolina, so I'm not sure. Let's just say Aristotle, father of wisdom. And one of the young men asked him for wisdom, came to his office and said, I really want to have wisdom. And he looked at him and said, what did you ask for? He said, sir, I would like to have wisdom. He said, follow me. So they went out to some water. They got into the water. And here's Aristotle. And here's the young man. He said, what did you say you wanted? He said, I'd like to have wisdom. And he plumped him down under the water and pulled him back up. And the young kid just shook himself and dried himself off. And he said, tell me again, what is it that you wanted? He said, I'd like to have wisdom. Put him down again. Y'all still awake? Pulled him back up. And the guy just shook himself. He said, what do you want? Sir, I would really like to have wisdom. And he held him down there for a while. Brought him back up. And the guy said, And Aristotle said, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. And he put him down again and held him for even longer. And finally, he pulled him back up. And the guy shook himself. And Aristotle said, young man, what do you want? And he said, I want air. Stand with me tonight. He said, young man, when you want wisdom more than the air you breathe, he said, you'll have wisdom. And if you want the Holy Ghost, and if you are hungry for new wine, there's no reason why any church should be a dry, cold, dead church. And how many churches out there, they're just going through the motions. A valley of dry bones. They leave, come 11 o'clock sharp. They leave 12 o'clock dull. And how about you? Because the church is not a building. It's you and you and you and you and you. Are you full? Are you full? And by the way, you say, Brother Ricky, I got the Holy Spirit back in 1967. I want you to know you need a fresh touch tonight. And I want to know if that wine is still coming and pouring. I want you to step out of your seat. If you want the touch of the Holy Spirit afresh in your life tonight, I want an encounter with the Holy Spirit of heaven. I want you to flood this place. I want you to touch our teenagers. Step out of your seat and just, I'm not asking you to do anything strange. And if you don't understand all of it, that's okay. I don't understand everything about it. I just know that God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be overflowing tonight. He wants us, our vessel. Oh, ask Him tonight and you shall receive. receive a fresh touch of the power of God. Come on, if you want some wine tonight, He's about to turn the water into wine. He's about to move at Westmoreland like never before. Praise God for all He's done in the past. Praise God for what He's done, going to do tonight and in the future. Lord, I thank You. Lord, we love those from other denominations. We honor those who preach Your gospel, our brethren in other churches like Methodist and Episcopalian and Missionary Baptist and Free Will Baptist. We love what they're doing. We have nothing against them. But here tonight, God, we're asking not for denomination. We're asking for the experience of Pentecost. Oh God, give us flames of fire, Lord, a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Let it fill all the house where we're standing tonight. Let us be filled and refilled tonight. Let our young people receive that precious touch of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we praise You tonight, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Refill and fill with the precious Holy Spirit. Oh God, let these young people be filled with fresh fire. And God wants to do something in your life. Father, I... I'm just going to lay hands on everyone tonight because I want God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You better not understand it all, but just ask Him to give what He has. Just say, Lord, give me what You got for me. I don't care what it does. I'm going to obey You, God. Thank You, Brother Tedder, for being faithful to Pentecost all these years. Oh, God, give us a fresh... Oh, God, fill them with the Holy Spirit tonight. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Oh God, fill and refill. Oh God, let many be filled. Oh God, I'm hungry. Come on, lift those hands to heaven tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not by might, nor by power, but by Your Spirit. Let Royal Rangers be filled with the Spirit in campouts. Let girls' ministry be filled with the Spirit in their classes. Oh, God, we are hungry for another touch of the Lord. Oh, God, thank You, thank You. Oh, it is no secret. Lord, fill this handmaiden with the power of the Holy Ghost. She yields to You tonight. She's not afraid. You, Lord, are her heavenly Father. You're going to give her the fresh wine. She wants it. She wants it tonight. Does anybody want it tonight? Lord, I want it for Westmoreland. I want it in my life. I want the Holy Ghost. It is no secret
what God can do.
Sing it with us tonight. Ask the Lord to fill you.
What secret what God can do. What He's done for us. He'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
I won't.